May the Lord help us in our worship this day. Our first hymn is number 908. And as usual, we shall not sing aloud, but sing from the heart as the organ is played, remaining seated. Hymn 908. Saved is the sinner that believes. The sacred gospel annals show. To him repentance Jesus gives, and sins complete remission too. Hymn 908.
May the Lord help us to read from his holy word the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, the last part of verse of chapter 12 and chapter 13. The Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 12, commencing to read at verse 18. Hebrews 12, verse 18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burn with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated, that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Say that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom if he come shortly I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord God Almighty, we plead for thy gracious help and thy presence as we meet together here once more on this annual occasion. Grant us thankfulness in the realization by thy grace of thy mercies toward us through another year of time, and the mercy that has once again opened the doors of this place and kept them open till now. The privilege of meeting together around thy word. Lord, it is of thy mercy that we are not consumed. We thank thee for preserving us, maintaining us, upholding us. Thy long-suffering mercy forbearance toward us. Wherever we help, receive. And Lord, we come now and plead with the good woman of old. Lord, help me. Thou knowest how many have come in here this afternoon with that prayer. Oh, we thank thee that it is a prayer that will never wear out. Lord, there will come a time when thy people have no longer need of prayer. They will be eternally receiving the answer to that prayer. Lord, help me. Oh, help us each then to pray our way along. For surely that is the way. Thou dost lead thy people forth. That right way. Prayer in Jesus' name. Faith in him. Looking unto Jesus. Lord, help us to do so. Lord, that we may see the good of thy chosen and rejoice in the gladness of thy nation. Lord, we pray, may we do so today. O blessed Spirit of truth, come down. Reveal to us as only thou canst the things of God. Make to us salvation known, and witness with the blood. Assure thy people that thou art their eternal God, that thou lovest them with an everlasting love, that thou hast chosen them in thy dear Son from all eternity. Assure them, Lord, that thou didst live, Lord Jesus, and die for them. Didst shed thy precious blood for them. Thou hast wrought that glorious righteousness for them. To make thyself their sanctification. Assure them that thou hast ascended, having risen from the dead. Oh, grant thy people the blessing of the power of thy resurrection. For how else shall they know that they rose with thee? Lord, raise us up above the death which is ours by nature. Lord, we find no good in ourselves, no life in ourselves. Of ourselves, may we find the life of God in us. As the Spirit reveals Christ in our heart by faith, the hope of glory. Lord, we pray then that thou wouldst feed thy flock this day. Lord, help this poor sinner. Make him this day thy under-shepherd. O Lord, do not leave him to that solemn condition that thou dost so solemnly reprove the shepherds of old for, who fed themselves with the meat and clothed themselves with the wool, but fed not the flock. Oh, we pray that thou wouldst grant one the grace to feed thy sheep, feed thy lambs. Lord, do grant that it may be the pure, unadulterated word of God, the gospel of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And do, blessed Spirit of truth, take that gospel and make it life and power in the hearts of thy sheep and lambs. Oh, may there be a word in season, what food that is. Feed thy people with food convenient for them. Thou hast, Lord Jesus, the tongue of the learned. Thou shouldst know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Other weary ones here, surely there are. For thy people are a heavy laden, a weary and a burdened people. Lord, attract them, draw them to thyself this afternoon for rest. Are there doves, Lord, that find no rest for the sole of their feet? Oh, may the gospel go forth with that certain sound, no uncertain sound. May the great trumpet be blowed and they come. Return unto thee, heavenly Noah. And do thou stretch forth thy arm and pull them in to the blessed ark of grace. Lord, hear us, we pray. For Jesus' sake, we commend to thee this church and congregation. Do bless them indeed. Do maintain them and keep them. Do grant them the unity of the Spirit and help them to endeavor for it at the throne of thy grace. Lord, pleading each one individually for more of the power of thy Spirit. For Lord, when thy Spirit is poured out, how that is a uniting effect, for he preaches Christ, the one in whom all thy church are one. He lays self low, the cause of all the divisions. He conquers sin, such a separating thing from thee and thy people from each other. We pray then, Blessed Spirit of truth, grant here the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. Let no root of bitterness springing up trouble them, and thereby many be defiled. Lord, nourish this flock. Add believers unto this church, and grant godly additions to the church members. Growth in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Oh, we know thee so little. At least one feels so himself. Lord, we pray to know thee more and thereby to resemble thee more, to closer follow thee, to depend more wholly on thee, to be more obedient to thee, to have more of thy grace, Lord. Oh, thy servant desired for those Hebrews he wrote to. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. We seek that for this people. We thank thee, Lord, for thy mercies to them. As we hear, Lord, of another child given unto them, life preserved and life given. We thank thee for it and pray for the child and his parents, her parents. Lord, that they may each be blessed in that family and each of the families here. And Lord, help each one. Lord, thou knowest the path that each one takes. No two paths are the same. Lord, thou dost perfectly appoint everything, whether one be married or single, whether one have children or no children, whether one have health or sickness, wealth or poverty, prosperity or adversity. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But we plead for our children and young people. The blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. Call them early by thy grace, if indeed they be thine, or may it be so. Bless the seekers, Lord, to be finders according to thy promise. Lord, keep us in this world of sorrow. Keep us in these perilous times in which our lot is cast. Do not let us have merely a form of godliness, but grant us vital godliness. Oh, dwell in us, Lord. There's no other way of having godliness. Oh, we plead for it. Bless the deacons. Help them. Use them. Direct them. Give them all needed wisdom. Help them to use the office of a deacon well. Lord, help them to pray much for the flock. Help them and the flock to pray much for the fulfillment of thy promise. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and with understanding. Remember the church is represented here. We pray likewise for them. Lord, to appear for thy people in their great need. And those, Lord, in trying circumstances, deep perplexities. But, Lord, none here are in a case which is beyond thy power. None here have a perplexity that thou hast not the answer to. Lord, help the people to lift up their heart with their hands unto God in the heavens, to search and try our ways and turn again unto the Lord. And help thy people to wait. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to that appointed day. Lord, we pray, grant that patience we so much need. Hey, true, the words that didst inspire thy servant to write. Ye have need of patience. Lord, we do. No natural patience will do. Oh, we pray for the patience of Christ. Lord, after thou didst do the will of thy Father, thou didst inherit the promise. Thou wast exalted at thy Father's right hand, a Prince and a Saviour. Lord, help thy people by thy grace, after they have done the will of God, to inherit the promise. Lord, sanctify thy judgments. Richly deserved, we confess. Indeed, how light are they compared to what we deserve. Would it please thee, Lord, to lift thy judgment? Lord, thou seest how it affects us in our assemblies in thy house. O Lord, sanctify this reminder we have. As the people sit in their pews with their faces partly covered, and the minister looks down upon them, cannot see their expression. And Lord, as we cannot sing thy praises as we would, Lord, we pray in wrath, remember mercy. Could it please thee yet to restore, and permit that worship in the fullness of it, according as thou hast commanded us. But Lord, give us submission to thy will. Give us wisdom in these difficult times. Give us, above all else, that trust only in thee. Pardon now all we ask amiss, all the sins of another day. Thus far we confess how far short we've come. We plead that precious blood. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood will never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Oh, may we know the power of the blood to cleanse and soften and renew us. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Our next hymn is number 804. Ye lambs of Christ's fold, ye weaklings in faith, who long to lay hold on life by his death, who fain would believe him, and in your best room would gladly receive him, but fear to presume. Remember one thing, oh, may it sink deep. Our shepherd and king cares much for his sheep. To trust him endeavour, the work is his own. He makes the believer and gives him his crown. Hymn 804.
In dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this afternoon to the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 13. Verse 8. The Epistle of Paul, the Apostle, to the Hebrews, chapter 13, reading verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. In the previous chapter, the apostle wrote, didn't he, of those things which were to be removed, those things that could be shaken, would be shaken, are shaken. And he spoke of those things which could not be shaken. They may remain. They are the things of God. They cannot be shaken. They are eternal. That is, the things of his salvation, of his people. But we must remember that God's works in creation can be shaken. They are things that are made. And they are things that will one day pass away. But Jesus himself said, didn't he, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Jesus Christ, the one name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. There is no other person like him. Glorious, eternal Son of God. Glorious, perfect, holy, impeccable, sinless God-man. None other like him. Do you know him, my dear friend? Remember what he said to his father in John 17. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You know about him? Do you know him? How is he known? No man can say that Jesus is the Christ, is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost makes him known to each one of the church of God in his appointed time. He shows himself through the lattice of the Word. Where is that knowledge given? Where does that knowledge in a person reside? In their heart. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You know, every believer knows in whom they believe. The faith that the Lord gives them in him is not a faith in an unknown God. Ah, here below, my dear friend, our knowledge of him is small. He must needs be so, because he is infinite. Our sight of him is through a glass darkly. But the sight through a glass darkly saves. And one of the proofs that we do know the Lord is that he makes us to feel to know so little of him. Have you found that, child of God? Perhaps some of you, you hope you first began to know the Lord many, many years ago, maybe 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. And you feel you cannot deny that the Lord has made himself known to you here a little and there a little along the way. You know, that's another proof. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And how do we come to know more of Christ? Only through knowing more of our need of him. We shrink from trouble, don't we? But when the Lord appears for us in it and appears unto us in it, we bless him for bringing us into that trouble. Do you know anything of that, my dear friend? I don't know another way. The Word of God doesn't speak of another way of knowing Christ. John Newton says he asked the Lord that he might know him more. He answered his prayer, but it was in ways that almost drove him to despair. This knowledge of the Lord, my dear friend, is not something that is comfortable to the flesh. Because the knowledge of the Lord is the crucifixion of self. You can't know the Lord and not have yourself crucified. The Lord does it. My dear friend, child of God, elect vessel of mercy here this afternoon, the Lord won't leave it to you, the choice you make. Blessed be his dear name. If there was one thing optional, his people wouldn't choose it, would they? No. He knoweth the way that I take. He's appointed it. Perfectly weighed it in his infinite scales of wisdom and judgment. He knows the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I should come forth as gold. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. We must needs just briefly observe the context in which these words are given. It's part of an exhortation to the Church of God to remember the Lord's under shepherds. And here, one of the Lord's under shepherds is defined. The end of the conversation of one of the Lord's under shepherds is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. It's rather confirming, really, the hymn your deacon chose, that second one. Because my mind has been much today upon the blessed position of the Lord Jesus Christ as the shepherd of his flock. In particular, with regard to his rebuke of those shepherds in that chapter in the prophecy of Ezekiel. And I mention it in prayer because it had been so on my mind. He said he is against the shepherds. And he says he will cause them to cease from feeding the flock because they weren't feeding the flock. And if a minister doesn't have this as the whole of his preaching, he is not feeding the flock. You say, what about the law? What about all these other things? I say, what about what the apostle said? I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. But you see, the Lord's people are safe. They ever were safe. They are safe and they will be safe forever. A bad shepherd won't cause a child of God to perish. And the Lord won't let his flock be starved. He says in that chapter in Ezekiel, I will feed my flock and make them to lie down. I will bind up that which was broken. I will heal that which was sick. I will gather that which was scattered away in the dark and cloudy day. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. Remember them which have the rule or are the guides over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, that is, their whole life. How far short every one of these ministers feels to come, but the Word of God speaks of this high standard. It isn't just what a minister says in the pulpit. Is what he lives in his life. It isn't, my dear friends, just what you're like when you're sat in the pew. It's what you're like when you go out to the house of God, when you children go to school, when you men go to work, when you women caring for your children if you have them, or working according to the providence of God. Till you have those children, the Lord has appointed you, whatever the path, and you in retirement, how you deal with the people you have need to deal with in your life, how you live your life, how you speak, how you act. Jesus Christ, the whole of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the Saviour, he shall save his people from their sins. In that name that the angel Gabriel brought to Mary and Joseph, the name that his father, God the Father, had given to his dear son, there is so much divinity in that blessed name, Jesus. Though it is the name that was given unto him relating to his sacred humanity, but the person who has this name, Jesus, is the Son of God in our nature. He shall save his people. There you have election. His people. The Father choosing a people and choosing them in his Son, giving them unto his Son from their sins. From their sins. Those that know the Lord Jesus Christ, first and foremost know him as the Saviour, their Saviour, from their sins. Oh, indeed. They know him also as their guide in their life's pathway. They know him also as the kind answerer of their prayers in providential things. They know him in many other things, but the principal thing, my dear friend, before God this afternoon, what is the principal thing that you are caused to pray unto God about? What is the principal thing, the thing above all else, that the Lord used in your soul's experience to bring you to a knowledge of Jesus Christ? If you really know him, you'll say it was my sins. My sins against God. He shall save his people from their sins. How? How? One of the things that the Lord brought to my mind in gradually directing me to this text this afternoon was one of those verses in John Newton's beautiful hymn by the fountain. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. This blessed Jesus saves his people from their sins by shedding his precious blood for those sins. But it was that verse that says this: dear dying lamb, thy precious blood will never lose its power. The same. Yesterday and today and forever. Will never lose its power. Till all the ransomed church of God, the election of grace, be saved to sin no more. Jesus. If you know him, my dear friend, you must know him as Jesus Christ and him crucified. The Lord search your heart and mind. What are the views you and I have been given of Christ? What a favored person you are. If you have seen him by faith on that cross at Calvary. If you've heard of him by faith, as John Baptist pointed him out, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The giving of his life. He took that life, for deity cannot die. He took that life so that he, the Son of God, could die. He took the same flesh and blood as the children, that he should be under that law for his people. That he should, in our nature, fulfill that law in a life that was pure and perfect. Endure the curse of the law in bearing the sins of his people in his own body on the tree. Pour out his soul unto death. And that precious blood which he had taken, in taking our nature, should be poured out. Being his, it has all the power of the Godhead in it. And so it is sufficient. Being God in our nature, he's able to sustain the great weight that was laid on him. It could only be on him as he is man. He could only sustain it as he is God. Jesus Christ, the same the same. Those things which cannot be shaken. Oh, my dear friend, do you feel what a changeable person you are? Do you feel what that hymn says? Change and decay and all around I see. Do you pray, O thou who changest not, abide with me? Now the word Christ, it means the Messiah or the Anointed One. That Messiah that Daniel heard of from the lips of the angel Gabriel. Oh, how that angel Gabriel was used of God on that occasion, and then he was used, we know, in the case of John, the father of Zacharias, but he was used in the case of bringing the message from heaven to Mary. She was to bear that holy child and call his name Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. The Lord Jesus Christ was anointed with the Holy Spirit without measure. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because I am the Messiah. I am the Christ of God. I am the Anointed One by this blessed Spirit, to preach the gospel to the meek, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to the bound, the acceptable, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord, and so on. My dear friend, this Jesus Christ is the same. He is still that blessed preacher. Though he is not on this earth, in body, he is on this earth through the communion of the Holy Spirit. Let me just remind you of what Paul said when he wrote to the Ephesians, recounting that they were once dead, but that they have been quickened. And who does he say came and did this work? He cannot, he would not, by the grace of God. He has no desire to give any glory to himself. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of Christ. But he says of the Lord Jesus Christ, who then was bodily in heaven, who came and preach peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Christ, the anointed preacher. You know, when child of God, you have had the blessing of Jesus Christ. Didn't you lose sight of the minister? If it was under the preaching of the gospel, you lost sight of the minister. A lesser experience in the measure of it is that which the three disciples knew on the Mount of Transfiguration. They lifted up their eyes and saw no man save Jesus, only Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. He is the same person as he ever was. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and still is God. He is the eternal Son of God. Look how he sets forth his delight in that church whom his father gave him in the everlasting covenant. As he speaks in the book of the Proverbs, my delights were with the sons of men. I rejoiced in the habitable part of the earth. True, that person became at his birth what he was not before, in the sense that he before that did not have a sacred, holy humanity, but he was the same person. The same love, the same grace, the same covenant engagement, the same great head of the church, the same yesterday. But then the yesterday of what he ever has been to the church of God. Right back to that time when he was first preached to the church of God. When God said to Adam and Eve, the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. The same yesterday, that yesterday. And we might go through, of course we haven't time, not even to mention a few of them really, but briefly summarising in this. Whenever and wherever on this earth a sinner has been saved, it has been by faith in Christ. He was the offering that Abel looked to when he brought to God that sacrifice of the firstlings of his flock. You say, how can you be sure of that? I can be sure of it, my dear friend, because God tells us. That's the only thing we can be sure of. But how sure we can be of that which God tells us? By his offering, his faith, God says he obtained witness and he was righteous. Now, do you think he could be made righteous through the sacrifice of one of his flock? No. He was counted righteous by Almighty God. And you see, God doesn't speak in his word as though Abel's faith is no longer relevant today. By it, says the Holy Spirit, he being dead yet speaketh. The same yesterday. Oh, that wonderful man, the blessed Jacob at the brook Jabbok. I've seen God face to face and my life is preserved. Abraham saw my day, saw it and was glad. Joshua saw this blessed one. He said to him, art thou for us or against us? And he said, nay, but as captain of the Lord's host am I come. He said to Joshua, I am captain. More than on your side, Joshua, I am your captain. Well, we might go on, but I want to speak of experience with regard to the Lord's people here this afternoon. Do you have a yesterday of the knowledge of the unchangeable Jesus Christ? True religion, Holy Ghost religion, is a religion of revelation. Have you ever had Jesus Christ revealed to your soul? The proof of it is the effects he had upon you. Remember that serpent bitten Israelite? When the brazen serpent was lifted up in the midst, everyone that had a serpent bite when he looked upon the serpent of brass who represented Jesus Christ, made a curse for his church. Everyone that looked upon that serpent of brass lived. What a favored person you are if you have a yesterday. When the Holy Spirit lifted up on the pole of the gospel a precious Christ. And you were blessed with faith in him, that faith you sung of in the opening hymn. The sinner that by precious faith has felt his sins forgiven, is manifestly passed from death and made an heir of heaven. I know this is not the hymn you sung, but it's a similar one. Well, you didn't sing it, it was read. But that hymn goes on to say, not as the world the Saviour loves. He is no fickle friend. Whom once he loves, he never leaves, but loves them to the end. Yesterday. Oh, we need the Spirit to be our remembrancer. And when he speaks to his people of a yesterday, of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, he brings that to their remembrance. According to the Lord's own promise, he will bring to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. A yesterday when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to you. You know, my dear friend, the Lord Jesus still speaks to his people today, just as he did when he was here on earth. True, they don't see him with their eyes. But that wasn't what granted the Lord's people the blessing when he was on earth, was it? True, they don't hear an audible voice. Although, my dear friend, I believe I have known what it is to hear his voice. And it come with such power as though it was an audible voice. But of course it wasn't. Have you ever, my dear friend, heard a voice behind you and you've turned round? Who was that? There wasn't anyone there. But what was it that was said? The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now those words haven't changed. When he told you he loved you, when he told you your sins were forgiven, when he told you he would not leave you comfortless, he would come to you, he hasn't changed. I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. The same. He was the sovereign Saviour then, wasn't he? He didn't save you then because you were good. He saved you then, he spoke to you then because he was yours and you were his. That's sovereignty. Election. Free election known by calling, says the hymn writer, the calling of Jesus Christ. He saved you by his blood then, did he not? Because, my dear friend, there's no other way he can save you. Oh, when you were loaded down with that load of guilt, when you could not remove the stain, when you could not overcome the power, the Blessed Spirit brought the words of the Lord Jesus into your soul with power. Wasn't it the words of the sin atoning death? I was reminded of it one occasion in my own experience. Just before I ventured to follow the Lord in the ordinance of his house. And all the depths I passed through that evening before the blessing came. You've made a mistake. You should never have spoken to the deacons. You're a lost character. You've no interest in Christ. Look at what you are. Look at what you've done. The next morning at the breakfast table, we've had that Revelation 12. And when we came to those words, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, the blessed Spirit, as Philpott says in the portion this morning, he puts the blood where it's needed, on the conscience, on the heart, and the sin is removed. The devil can't now accuse me. Yesterday, the same yesterday. But he saves in the same way today. True, what he said yesterday remains. But my dear friend, I don't believe the Lord permits any one of his people to go through the whole of their life relying on what he said to them yesterday. No, that's not his purpose. What does he say in John 15? He says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. And that abiding is by faith. And what does faith have to do? What does faith do? Faith works. What does it do? It brings a sinner to look again toward that blessed, unchangeable Christ. And plead again for those words to be spoken. And plead again for another application of that precious blood. The same yesterday and today. Where are you today, my dear friend? I don't know exactly where you are, but I can tell you in summary where you are. You're in need today of that same Jesus Christ today. Today. You see, the reality of the yesterday of Christ is proved by the reality of the today of Christ. And what is the today of Christ? Paul describes it when he says, I'm crucified with him. I'm crucified with him. I have no life of my own. I have no righteousness of my own. I have no goodwill of my own. I have no prayer of my own. I have no faith of my own. I have no repentance of my own. I can do nothing for myself. That's being crucified with Christ. The same yesterday and today. And today. How can he change? He is God. Oh, behold that blessed rock. When so much as you and I can't find any words to describe it, because there aren't any words to describe it, so much came upon him. So much temptation, so much sorrow, so much grief. But did any of those things change him? No. David says of him, the Lord is my rock. Paul says the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. My dear friend, an earthly brother drops his hold. Is somebody walking that path this afternoon? You say, why am I having to walk this? David might well have asked, oh, why is it Ahithophel has joined the conspirators? He who I went to the house of God in sweet communion with. Well, look at what effect God caused the default of Ahithophel to have upon David. It drew David closer to his Lord. It made David lean more wholly and unreservedly on his Lord. An earthly brother drops his hold. It's sometimes hot and sometimes cold. But Jesus is the same. Now, my dear friend, I want to speak faithfully. The Lord help me to do so. Because this truth that Jesus is the same must be proved. Must be proved. If you have proved him in reality yesterday, if you proved, oh my dear friend, weren't you drawn to him on account of what he had done for people before? Didn't the Holy Spirit give you an old-fashioned religion? The religion that men like Abraham, Isaac and Jacob had, that David had? And didn't you long to prove what those men proved? You walked with them in their sorrows and with their griefs. You were with them as led by the Spirit in their prayers. And then when he spoke to you, you got an old-fashioned deliverance. My dear young friends, that's the only deliverance that will do. God still delivers sinners in the same way he ever did, revealing himself to them, blessing them with faith in him. Abraham is going up to the Mount Moriah at the command of the Lord. Contrary to carnal sense and reason. He's waited 25 years for this son. And now he's a young man, a lad at least. And God commands him to take him up and offer him as a sacrifice. To carnal reason cannot be true. Faith is the opposite of carnal reason. And the dear lad asks his father, "Where is the lamb?" This is what enabled him to go. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. This is the same Jesus, my dear friend. Not one that fits alongside all your carnal reason and goes along with it, but the one that goes opposite to it. The yesterday of Jesus Christ was a deliverance beyond anything you could comprehend or think. Are you today in a place and you're working out how the Lord's going to deliver you? Well, he won't. He won't work. He won't deliver you in the way you're working out. He says in Isaiah 55, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." The Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, never have a new thought. The thoughts of God are the same as they ever were. And God never devises a new way. From eternity appointed his son the way. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. The yesterday of Jesus Christ was when the Spirit enabled you to fall into his hands. fall unreservedly into his hands. You saw him doing everything. You saw him having done everything. He himself was everything to you. There's the crucifixion of self with Christ, the same yesterday and today and today. The yesterday of Jesus Christ that you had, child of God, did not put you in a condition, a position, where the Lord's subsequent deliverances of you would be any different. What a defense of the truth this is against the lies of the devil and your unbelieving heart. Because when a person has been blessed yesterday with Jesus Christ, does not unbelief and the devil work like this? That now there's some merit in you. There's something about you. And when you find there isn't, doesn't the devil in your unbelieving heart say, it couldn't have been real? You couldn't have known Jesus Christ yesterday, or else you wouldn't be in this dreadful condition you are today. You think of Elijah on the Mount Carmel. The Lord, by his Son, granted him those abundant answers to prayer and that strengthening in his soul so that he overthrew the prophets of Baal, slew them. But he comes down from the mount, not only physically, but it seems spiritually as well. As the hymn writer said, I return to my own sad place. And he hears Jezebel say, when she hears that Elijah has slain the prophets of Baal, I will make that man as those prophets of Baal. In other words, I will slay him before the end of the day. And the poor man flees. And that was only the next day. But what do we find? Do we find that because Elijah has changed, his God has changed? No. His God goes and finds him, administers unto him, because he's the same. He loved Elijah with an everlasting love. He bound him up in the covenant of grace, sealed with the blood of his dear son. And he cannot take his Holy Spirit from him. He sends his angel to him. Arise and eat. The journey is too great for thee. And he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. And then the Lord appears unto him and sends him back. I have yet 7,000. That have not bowed the knee to Baal. Arise, go back. The same yesterday and today and forever and forever. If you, my dear friend, have a yesterday and a today of the Lord Jesus Christ, bless with faith yesterday and bless with faith today in him. Bless from time to time with communion with him. Bless at times conspicuously with another word from his mouth, another application of his blood to your sin-stained conscience, he'll be yours forever. He'll be the same to you forever. You'll come into deeper things, just as David did in his life's experience. One thing was a preparation for the next. But when you come to that last great trial, Jesus Christ the same. Dear old Mr. Short from Chippenham, he used to say, there's no place between the womb and the grave where a child of God comes. But what the Lord Jesus Christ was there before. And I might add, when he was there, or where we prevailed. When you were tempted, he was tempted before you. When you die, he died before you. When your body is buried beneath the clods of the valley, your grave, child of God, will be softened with his blood. It'll be sweetened. The only thing that sweetens a grave is the truth in the believer's case that Jesus lay in that grave before them. And forever. He'll ne'er thee forsake, but surely perform his will, though he take his way in the storm. He'll be forever your king. He'll be forever your guide. He'll be forever your all. He will be forever the object of your worship. Do you know a yesterday of worshipping Jesus Christ? What a favor. He is a spirit, says Jesus. He became a man, but he is the spirit. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And how that woman of the well worshipped him. She said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Worship. Then came she and worshipped him. Was there ever a day in your life, my dear friend, when you came to Christ like that woman of Canaan? Then came she and worshipped him. Did Christ ever make himself to you, my dear friend, everything? Did he ever appear unto you in such a way as just for a moment? It may have been just for a moment. You lost sight of everything, including yourself. This world meant nothing to you. There was nothing else to worship when Jesus, the proper and blessed object of worship, was revealed unto you. You'll worship him forever. He won't let you worship idols today, nor will he let you worship idols tomorrow. He'll cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. And in that worship is love. You say, yes, but I don't feel to love him today like I did. No, but if he appeared to you like he did, you'll love him again. Indeed, more than you did. Poor sinner, in these days when you're waiting for him to appear unto you again, you feel your love is so cold and faint. This truth that he is the same will cause your eye to be on him in respect of everything that's wrong about you, including that lack of love you feel. He's the source of that love. And he's still the source of it today, and he'll be the source of it forever. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. All the blessedness. Now, my dear friend, look well to this as I come to a close this afternoon. Was it not concerning eternity that your soul was compelled and then drawn to Jesus Christ? You heard by the Spirit that only in him is eternal life. That he is that one that is able to snatch a sinner from going down into the pit, because God has found a ransom, even his own precious blood. And when he was revealed to you, when you did believe on him, was it not above all else for eternity? Do you know anything of that experience of that man in the book of Job that Elihu speaks of? Deliver him from going down into the pit. I found a ransom. Now that ransom remains. And the forever of heaven is the fullness of all that Jesus Christ is and has done for his people. As one man put it, the Lord's people don't get two heavens. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I think of dear Yeddy. He saw yon lovely man by faith, and before the day was over, he saw him by sight. Now, that's unusual. How often the child of God has to walk through many years from that time they first get that sight of Christ. But as dear Senex says, and the Lord keeps doing it, his track I see. And I'll pursue the narrow way till him I view forever. Oh, the wonder of it. Speaking to my own people yesterday, from Psalm 8, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? That great body, the sun, and all those other bodies, including the earth on which God has placed man, they will all pass away. But the child of God will live forever. And they will live forever because Jesus Christ and they are joined with a divine bond which cannot be broken. He says, because I live, ye shall live also. Jesus Christ, as he made himself your life, he will be your life, sinner, forever and forever. Amen.
The collections today are for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. After the benediction, The left aisle will exit in sequence through the door beside the pulpit, the right aisle through the door you came in by, and the gallery exits last. Please maintain social distance as you leave. Our closing hymn is 389. Draw my soul to thee, my Lord. Make me love thy precious word. Bid me seek thy smiling face, willing to be saved by grace. Hymn 389.
Thank thee for thy word. Do bless it. Watch over each one and keep us as we separate. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.